I think one of the major kick for me to start the Get a Glass Bar for a gay woman coming onto the scene is sometimes in London, it's very cold.
Mm.
It can be a little unfriendly if you're not in with any group.
Mm.
So you've got to be quite a ballsy person to come and introduce yourself to a group and, you know, make them understand that you're going to be around and you want to be part of that group. And it helps if you're attractive and funny, you know, those stereotypical things. But I remember going into a venue. It was the Fallen Angel. It was raining. It was a Tuesday and it was raining heavily. And I had this bright red cagoule and I was wearing this pair of trousers which were fuchsia and they had triangles with lots of different colours on them. So I walked into this venue, I'm soaked, and I've got my cagoule on and I opened the door and everybody kind of stopped, turned and looked at me. And you could see like someone was thinking, what the hell is she wearing? Others thinking, she's lost. And they were in their standard uniform attire, which was, these are customers, which was jeans, white t-shirt, leather black jacket, hair slicked back.
So, all of them?
Yeah, most of them. So they all look like something like James Dean, that kind of look. And yes, I felt out of place. I felt, yes, this is definitely a wardrobe malfunction, kind of, no, I don't belong here, really don't belong here. But I went in all the same. I thought, I'll go in all the same, get a pint. I sat right at the back, you know, like a naughty schoolgirl sat right at the back of the class. So I sat right at the back and I drank my pint very slowly by myself. And nobody approached me. Nobody said hello, nothing, finished my pint, then left. And I thought, if ever I had a venue, I am not going to do that. If somebody comes in on their own, I'm not going to necessarily assume that they're Billy No Mates or they might be meeting somebody. Or they might actually decide I'm going to go out on my own. Why not? I do it all the time. But I'm going to say hello to them.
Mm-hmm.
How are you? How's your day? You know. And then just say, give them my name, tell them what I'm about, so they don't feel that mad woman hitting on them. And then go about my business. You know, and you know, if they want to be introduced to groups, do that. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Glass Bar is so successful.
Mm-hmm.
Because you knew you weren't going to be left alone. And I think that's very important. People, we're not designed to be alone as a species. So it's good to be together and it's good to have conversations, it's good to network, but it's good to have somebody there who can facilitate that.
Mm-hmm.
Can make that happen, and that's why, one of the reasons why I started the Glass Bar, to create spaces, a space for women just to be, you know, they don't have to compete with the noise of men, the space men take up,
mm-hmm.
the oxygen men take up, and it's a space where you can just be, and it doesn't matter what you're wearing. You know, the uniform changed from jeans, white t-shirt, and black leather jackets to jeans and check shirts from Mr. Buy-Right, then Oxford Circus, and you know, dungarees, it moved to dungarees, and it moved to something else, and then it went to lipstick lesbians, and you all walked in wearing corporate suits. You know, it changes, but it doesn't really matter what you're wearing, you could come to the Glass Bar, and you'd have a conversation with somebody. You could come on your own and have a chat with somebody. And that is what I wanted to create. And I was very successful at doing that. So by the time I had to come out to my parents, you know, then at least I could explain exactly what it was, and I knew more about my sexuality. And because I was on the scene, I knew more about other people and how they deal with their sexuality, how some people are very comfortable with it, and some people are still fighting with it, particularly those who are steeped in religion. I was baptized when I was 17 and I left the church when I was 18. And it's one of those things that if you're brought up in church and it's quite strict, it really has a tight hold on your life and how you think and what you ought to do and stuff like that. And it was quite good to break free of that and just be able to do my own thing and shape my own values and have my own principles. And that was important to me. And leaving home with my family, you leave home when you're about to get married. So it's like my brother and I left home well before that, and my parents are thinking, oh, what are you doing? You've got your own room, why don't you just stay?
Was it in Norwood then you lived?
Streatham.
Streatham. Mm. And when you were early 20s, when was that? The 80s, was it?
Yes. Yeah, 86, 87.
And what was the, what can you remember of the scene then? Political or social or anything?
Well, if you were a lesbian, you had to be a socialist. You had to be. You had to be a socialist. You had to be a Labour supporter or, socialist worker. You had to be. No, I'm Labour person. Very left of centre, but not socialist workers, no. Really, no. Jesus, no. Yes, and you couldn't have a good job. You had to be a social worker. I was an accountant. I was doomed. Every time I walked in, it's like, so what do you do for me? I'm an accountant. It's the worst thing you could ever say. You'd think people say, oh, you're a woman and you're an accountant in a man's world. Well done you. It's like, no. I'd go into a bar and they'd go, oh, drinks are on Elaine, she's an accountant. Capitalist scumbag. That's hideous. And the thing is, what makes me so angry is those very same people who would say, oh, you're a capitalist scumbag, bought their council flats. Mm. They bought their council flats for a song, sold it for a mint. Mm. Capitalist scumbags. Mm. So yeah, I had to deal with that. And because I was an accountant, I couldn't possibly have any socialist principles at all, anywhere. So that I would keep my politics to myself, basically. And then I eventually had to keep my career to myself. And in the 90s, it all changed. It all changed because, you had the lipstick lesbian, you had the power dressing, women in business. So now, being an accountant was, oh, well done, you. I'm thinking, well, I've left the career now. And it's like, well, why did you do that? Why are you working behind a bar when you could be an accountant? I'm thinking, well, I just, timing. So if you had, if you were very business orientated, then you still couldn't have socialist principles at all. And therefore you had to be a right-wing conservative. So I think sometimes to the rest of the world, people think that I'm fairly right-wing. But when it comes to, when I talk about politics, they always look slightly confused, I thought you were a conservative. It's like, no. Just no. Mm. No, no, no. So that part of me is actually quite difficult to get across to people, you know, be they friends or be they just customers, that no, I do have socialist, you know, that's my politics. It's not, I'm not a conservative. Yes, I do run a business, but that doesn't mean that, you know, I'm Thatcher's child. Far from it.